Good morning. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Today's sermon text comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 22, verse 1 and 2. Now it came to pass after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell you. And this morning we're going to extract three points of application from this sermon text: faith, love, and hope. Could you even fathom God asking you to do what he's asking Abraham? I've certainly asked myself these questions. Our God tests, never tempts. Our God audibly spoke to Abraham. If God's audibly speaking to you today, let me know. For us today, we have scripture that speaks to us, the Holy Spirit to guide you in your prayer and meditation life. The scripture speaks to us. Notice, our God called Abraham, and his response was, Here I am. He was an obedient servant of the Lord. He believed in the one true God. And we can ask ourselves, are we obedient children to God when he calls us? And also notice, God's not asking Abraham, he's telling him, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and offer him as a burnt offering. Faith is indispensable in our Christian walk. Faith and belief go hand in hand, like a hand in glove. Abraham had great faith. Abraham had unwavering, obedient heart. Abraham trusted his God. And we can ask ourselves all these same questions. Abraham had faith that God would provide an alternate sacrifice to bring Isaac back to life. The offering of Isaac, was a foreshadowing of the death of Christ. It was the test of Abraham's faith. God did not tempt him, nor does God tempt. According to Scripture, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but rather test us to confirm our faith. And this comes from Exodus 20:20. Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. Or provide our commitment, or prove our commitment to him. Satan, on the other hand, tempts us. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. He is cunning, baffling, and powerful, and insidious, and he will do anything to trip up the Christian and give us a black eye. An attempt to make us fall and pull away from the will of God in our lives. Our God gives us everything that we need to combat evil, and it's all for his glory. But each one is tempted when he draws away from his own desires and enticed. That's the truth. Abraham was obedient to God's will, proving faith without works is dead. Abraham had faith in what he was about to do. Could you? Would you? And this comes from Genesis 22, verse 12 and 13. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. The ram was a type of Christ, without spot or blemish, a perfect sacrifice. Abraham was a man of faith. He was getting ready to kill his only begotten son. And God provided an alternative. Supreme test of his mature life of faith and his willingness to offer up Isaac, his only son, whom he loved passionately and whom all his expectations centered. So the verse we're about to read, Abraham had foreknowledge of God's plan, completely trusting him, believing in faith in what God was doing. And that's what the scriptures do. For us as believers today, we should have no doubt what the Word of God says. Now, a few verses earlier, the prosperity promise, and this comes from Genesis 17, verse 19. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him, and for an everlasting covenant with his descendants after him. So he knew before he was even asked to go sacrifice his son, but he trusted in faith, and that's what I'm trying to drive home. We must have faith. I'm sure he was scratching his head. I'm sure he was walking with his son going, my gosh, am I really going to do this? And I asked myself that, would I have done that? And I hope that I would have. The tribes of Israel will come through Isaac. From Jacob, which the seed bears the 12 tribes, God's plan to the nation of Israel, the law of Moses, and a more even perfect plan from God comes through his son, the seed, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Love. God loves. Jesus came to fulfill a law, not to destroy. The law, the blood of animals could only cover. The law of grace, Jesus' blood takes away our sins once and for all, according to Scripture. Once for all, he died once. In Jesus Christ's earthly ministry, in his humanity, the Son did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save. He came to save the Jews first, they rejected him, and then it went to the Gentiles. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We're involved in that. All. And this is love right here. This scripture is the embodiment of love. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. And this is Jesus' self-sacrifice, our substitute. He paid our sin debt in full. That is agape love. And all he wants is for us to believe upon him. He didn't make it complicated. Human beings complicate making oatmeal, or as my wife would say, it's not oatmeal, it's oatmeal. While we deserve death, God has passed by us because of his son, and we are at awe of that truth? Has it changed the way we live, work, and act? If not, have we asked ourselves, out of the whole world, why would God choose me? And if that doesn't humble us, we don't know what, do you know what Jesus' death means? To him who loves us and washes us from our sins in his own blood. That was Jesus. He did it willingly, obediently. Our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ died for the world, paid our sin debt in full, willingly, obedient to the Father. Salvation comes from the Lord through Jesus Christ. What must I do to be saved? One might be sitting out here asking that question. What must I do to be saved? Believe upon Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And you have to grow in your faith. You have to believe that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Confess with your mouth that you're a sinner. You have to put in the work as a Christian. You have to read the Holy Bible and find out what God's will is for you. But you have to know the basics of what the Bible requires of somebody to believe upon him. And we have to walk as a worthy, repentant sinner. We have to shun evil. We have a gift that cannot be bought. We were bought at a price, brother and sister. Our salvation, our peace, comfort in this world, knowing where we are going. If you are a true believer in Christ, you can say, I know where I'm going. I'm going to be with the Lord one day, absent with the body, present with the Lord. Assurance. The Holy Bible gives us assurance. And we serve a living God today, and he's our provider, like he provided Abraham with the ram that was in the thicket. He's a provider for everything in our lives. When you're hurting, when you can't seem to get out of that place, he will provide a phone call, an email, somebody just saying hello. He will always, if you're attuned to what's going on. This is a gift of love. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which will teach and guide us in all truth. In the book of Acts, somebody thought that they could buy the gift, and you cannot buy this gift. The true blood-bought believer is indwelled with the Holy Spirit. The moment they believe, it guides us and points us to Jesus. Our helper is not only the Holy Spirit, but Jesus who intercedes for us. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave nor forsake you. So we can say boldly, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? As Christians, we will have trials and tribulations in this earthly walk. And I'm not just making this up. Jesus said that. And he also said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And we can overcome the world by our faith in him for what he has done. And we can apply this scripture to our own lives. For great is your mercy towards me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Why? Because we called on the name of the Lord and we have become new creations. Old things have passed away. Prior to becoming a Christian, I was dancing my way to hell and I didn't care. But my eyes were open. Just like we sung earlier, I was blind, but now I see. Praise God. He has given me an indescribable gift. Our hope, this comes from the Gospel of John, right from Jesus, chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, Martha, he's speaking to Martha, and he said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And you can ask yourself that. Absolutely, yes. Jesus said it, and I believe it. Do not let your hearts envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the days, for surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. I'm sure you're going, why does this guy get away with things? Don't worry about that. You know, in due time, everybody will reap what they sow. Expectations of the righteous waiting on the Lord. Christ will be magnified in my body, whether life or death. It's all for his glory, what a Christian does. And I wrote this down. Pay attention. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, of the living God. Christians, we're to share our hope in the living God, the good news of the gospel. We preach Christ crucified, risen. We serve a living God. We serve a God of hope, a God of love. But he's also a just God. Do not be fooled. Christians, we have been commanded to go and make disciples. He wasn't kidding when he said go. Christians, you could be helping saving a soul from punishment and torment for somebody that does not believe and dies. Hell, a place of separation from God. Hades is an intermediate state, and I call that the fire. And you're going from the fire to the frying pan, which is Guyana, which is eternal hell. And this is what it is described, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. That is frightening stuff. To avoid this place of punishment and torment, confess you're a sinner in need of a savior. Repent of sin, bear fruit of a worthy repentant sinner, walk and grow in the likeness of Christ. That's our job as a Christian, to tell people the truth. It's easy to talk to people that are Christians. Talking to an unbeliever is a little bit more difficult. And how do we know about the resurrection? Did he really rise? We have an empty tomb to prove it. Jesus' own words tell us that. And according to Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, it states this, and while they looked steadfast toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus whom was taken up from you into heaven will come back in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Jesus is coming back one day. I can't tell you when. Only the Father knows, Jesus knows too. But in a lot of scriptures it says, be ready, wait, watch. What will he find you doing when he comes back? Will he really find faith when he comes back? But if you are a blood-bought believer upon Jesus Christ, Jesus is going to be coming back first, and this is called the rapture. When our Christ comes back first for his saints, he'll be coming for his saints. And this is what the content of Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. When he comes back with his saints, and we have the location in scripture, there's multiple scriptures that tell us where he's coming back. Not when, but where. And it's in Isaiah chapter 34, verse 1 through 6. And it's Basra Edom. And according to the scale, it's roughly a 60-mile straight shot from that location to Jerusalem. Could be a little bit more or less, but we're not going to split hairs. And our final scripture for this sermon comes from Romans chapter 15, 13. Now may the God of our hope fill you with all joy and peace and hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This sermon really touched me with faith, love, and hope. And if you're a believer in Christ, that's exactly what you have, and we can grow it in all areas of our lives. And if you're sitting out there on the fence, not sure, just keep coming. His word will cut to the heart. Absolutely. His word is true. It's sure. And may your ears, heart, mind be open. And with this, we're going to end in prayer. Holy Heavenly Father, we just come before you. May these words sink down into our hearts. May our mind just believe your word of truth and save the souls of those who might be on the fence. This is a serious time coming before you. We as Christians just want to please you, Lord, and not grieve you. We want to walk worthy with you. We want to have the courage, the strength to go out of the highways and byways, sharing the gospel truth and letting people know that there is hope in this lost and dying world, and the hope is Jesus Christ, who freely loved them by dying on the cross. We just thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done in our lives and everything that you will do, Lord. Everything that is written in your holy word will come to pass. And may we not waver in our faith. We are but mere flesh, and we are going to all fall short of your glory. But may we come to quick repentance, Lord, and be right with you. We just thank you, and let's enjoy the rest of this service. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen.